So,
all right, I got your stuff right here.
Hey man,
you ready?
Don't be asking me about them kids either, bro. Okay. This is how this interview go.
Okay. All right, bro. Make it known what you need now.
All right.
Okay. You feel good letting your nuts hang? Go and tuck them back in so we can go and do this interview, bro.
Let's get it in. This ain't no little bitty dude just happy to be on some podcast, man. I'm running stuff in the streets.
All right. We're going to start over again. We're not, none of that's in Omega. We're not doing none of that. Nah. Yeah. So look, if you just tuning in, we had some technical difficulties. Thank you for watching the Joker Day podcast or listening, however you choose to consume your podcast. My name is Lionel Harris. I also got my co-host right here, the illustrious, which he doesn't really... Yeah, you don't like the adjective.
I'm sick of you using that.
Okay, David adjective. Griffin. Just some dude, David Griffin.
Yeah, that's
right, like, here. You like that?
Some dude at work.
You like that?
Illustrious, like it. I keep telling you, it raises the bar
right
a little bit too high.
I'm a lowest, so it'll choke you there.
Exactly. I want to set it.
That ninja,
right?
David Griffin.
There you go.
Thank you for being here.
I appreciate it. I appreciate that.
As always, man, we like to start the podcast off now. That's something we're doing on season two. What is pissing David off today? What is on David's mind?
Long text messages.
Long text messages?
That's it. That's just what's pissing me off recently. Because I don't understand. Like, the whole technology was supposed to be for us to get short, quick messages to each other.
Yeah, I agree.
You see what I'm saying? And I don't, you know, I'm over 40 now, so reading is a struggle for me.
Okay.
It was a struggle before, but now the vision. There's a part of it. You know what I'm saying? So I don't like when people send me text messages that have like periods.
Okay, you don't like punctuation. Like,
I don't because a period usually leads to another sentence.
Right, I feel
so.
You.
I don't need all of that in my life. Like, I just need like 3-4 words at most.
Does it help if they add pictures? Because usually when people don't like to read, a picture on the book helps break it up some. So if people add pictures to the text,
throw me a couple emojis in there, and that'll help me especially.
Okay,
because those was my favorite types of books to read as a kid. Anyway,
picture books.
That was more pictures than text. You know what I'm saying? More pictures than words.
So we know you just didn't enjoy reading after the first grade. You just
that was okay. Never really my strong suit.
Okay, all right.
You know?
Well, today we got a special guest. I think he demands that I give him a proper intro. He was in here just saying all kinds of things before the camera started rolling.
Yeah,
I might leak it later.
It was
for TMZ when he.
I mean, it was scary. It was scary. You know what I'm saying? I felt like I needed to tighten up.
Yeah, it was tense.
Yeah,
it was tense, man. Because it was extreme moves. Like he started talking real aggressively, but then he stroked his hair like Fabio.
Yeah,
I didn't know which mood he was going with.
He kind of leaned back in the chair.
Yeah,
kind of gangster like. I don't know.
Right.
About to happen. I was afraid.
So this brother is the producer of the quality comedy series.
Yeah.
Got to get that right.
Yeah.
He's one of the hosts of Living 757.
Yep.
Been a writer for some of your favorite comedians. Touring headliner on land and cruise ships.
That's what I'm talking
Got
about.
A dry bar comedy special on the way. Husband, father, he told me not to mention kids, but he's also a father and one of the OGs in the Seven Cities comedy scene. Make some noise for Tracksuit Mafia, Quincy Carr.
Hey, bro.
You can't see the pants, but Tracksuit Mafia.
No, man. They can't see the pants, like they can't see how you are hurting us flat foot people with the looseness of the shoes. Like, I have never seen shoes with the zipper and underneath.
Yeah, another shoe.
With a lace. Yeah, are you kidding
right,
me?
Right.
Got layers to them shoes.
Bro. You know, and I just, you know, and I just got to say, bro, I thought it was just me that didn't like reading a lot. And part of mine is the eyesight, but I don't. And I have to whisper this because black people get mad. Mm. I don't like to read.
Mm.
Like, I don't have a desire to just pick up a book. Like, I'll read a daily word because that's easy.
Yeah,
right.
Like, it gets done. You know it's for that day.
Yeah.
And you can close it and go to the next day and wait.
Praise the Jesus.
I'll look at a post.
There you go.
Yeah.
And I'll read what I need to read out the post, but that's good. But just to pick up a book, I don't know. Like, if it's for us as black, like, are there any black folks that just pick up a book just because?
The views and opinions expressed by Quincy Carr are his and his alone. Joke of Day Podcast encourages all our listeners to read, regardless of race.
Yeah, I think so.
You know how many books I've bought from other black folks who say, hey man, you buy my book, and I buy it to support.
Yeah.
And it's just sitting.
You use to hold your table up.
Bro. I'd be lying to it. Like, I read like two pages, like 17 chapters into it. Bro, you hit it on this number right here.
Right, on
this page, on this paragraph. Yeah, they'd be like, oh, thank you, bro, for reading my book. I'd be like, all right, that worked.
Yeah, you did.
That worked.
I'm going to pitch you on audiobooks after the podcast.
And, yes, please.
Yeah,
that's the only way I can do it.
Pitches and ears.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's start at the beginning. We're gonna try to move through this quickly, but I do want to set it up. When did you first get into stand-up, and what made you decide to do it?
I had just gotten out the Navy, man, and
thank you for your service.
Thank you, bro. I don't see nothing funny about that.
Yeah,
bro.
I know.
Like, you can't thank somebody and then laugh at these things.
Yeah, that's true.
Joke Day Podcast supports our troops and would like to thank everyone who has served our country.
Come on, hey man, you know, I'm sorry about your family member.
you can't do that.
Come on, Lionel.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Is he snickering?
Yeah. I don't think he wants me to have peace.
Unbelievable.
Rest in torment.
Right. Everything. You know what? A joke of day. Like, that's a new bit. I don't know if you do that bit, but that's funny. Like, the person that laughs after everything, no matter how serious or how funny the situation is. Boy, I'm hungry. I don't know, are you hungry or are you joking?
Right.
No, I'm hungry. Like, what? Keep laughing. Okay, I'm sorry, man.
Go ahead.
In the late 1900s,
okay.
1998, I got out, and then I was at my first civilian job. And of course, I'm being the same class clown type person I've always been everywhere I've been. And this coworker named Trisha Villafranca, I'll never forget her. She was, as a matter of fact, are you familiar with B.D. Barnes? It's in this area?
Yes.
So B.D. was working at that job. It's a telemarketing job. B.D. was working downstairs, and she came to me and said, have you ever thought about comedy? Because you always keep us laughing. You're very distracting at work, but I think that you should at least try. I said, I've never thought about comedy. Never once in my life. Like, I was a sitcom watcher, a comedy film watcher.
Right.
I love looking at Comic View and Def Jam, but I never once said, that's what I'm going to be. Like, I hear a lot of comics that say, oh yeah, I knew when I saw this, I was going to be this. And I'm like, no, I knew I'd be a barber, a licensed barber, a business owner, but never a comedy. So she said, there's a comic named B.D. Barnes, and he does this club called the Thoroughgood Inn, and maybe you should talk to him and he could maybe help me. And I'm like, all right. So a couple weeks had gone by, I had already talked to him, and I had made my, you know, decision to at least try it because I have a stutter, so I could talk about that in a little bit. I just did it right now. So I have a stutter, and so that always would, I never thought I'd be speaking in front of people. And then a few weeks later, we had a department outing at the spot called Wannabes. It's a karaoke spot in Virginia Beach.
Okay.
And a whole department had to go up, and participate and do a song. And I'm like, I'm not getting up in front of it, because there was a bunch of rednecks at the bar. I don't know if it's still that way. There was a bunch of rednecks at the bar. So a whole department had to pick a song and sing the song in front of all these strangers. And it was like that team building, corporate America type department outing.
Right,
And it came to me, and I was like, it said, Quincy, you have to pick a song. So I said, okay, if I do a song, I'm gonna do it to my favorite entertainer of all time, Michael Jackson. So I picked Beat It. And then when I was getting ready, like, everybody was just singing regular, you know, song. They just go up there and sing the karaoke. And I said, ain't nobody really paying attention. I said, look, I gotta do something because I'm nervous. And you know, as a comic, like, our laughter and funniness comes out because we're really nervous. And that's our way to kind of detract from all the stuff that we're feeling. So I said, I'm not only going to perform the song, I mean, sing the song, I'm a performer. So I reenacted the video, the knife scene and everything. I'm sliding across the pool table.
Right.
And these rednecks, by the time I was done, they were standing up, woo, and all that. And I go back to my group, and this other coworker said, if you don't do what God has blessed you to do, look at what you just did. You turned this whole room out and you got everybody laughing and entertained. You got it. So if you don't do what God has blessed you to do, you're missing your calling. Mm. And a little bit after that, I started, I went to Thorogood Inn and about 3 weeks later, because this was the only club, the only comedy club to get an opportunity on stage.
Yeah.
You had to show that you were really interested in being a comedian. So you had to go 3 straight weeks and watch the shows. And what some comics would do is, man, I want to get up there. I ain't got time to just sit and watch.
Right.
And yeah. So I went those 3 weeks. And then that following week, I got an opportunity to do 3 minutes and been bit by the bug ever since, bro.
That's what's up.
Yeah, bro. Awesome. 1999, March of 1999, bro. That's yeah. Yeah. Almost a quarter century of doing comedy, like really thinking about that right now. That's crazy. Yeah, I know that's not impressive to you, and I could see how your face is.
Nah, I'm just professional. You know what I'm saying? I can't let you know what cards I'm holding. You know what I'm saying?
You remember like, yeah.
25 years? Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? LeBron at 20.
Yeah, I mean, you know. You go play it.
Right, you know, it's like, all good.
Now, if you still doing comedy when your daughter making it to the league,
then I'll like, you ain't running nothing? Like, you still trying to get on somebody's stage? Like, you doing open mic?
Nah, I wouldn't go there with it, bro. That's just disrespectful. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, bro.
You got a follow-up, man?
Oh, yeah. I heard you say you were a licensed barber.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, I got a question about that.
Okay.
Something that plagues me. What's the proper etiquette for when my barber lining up my mustache? Like, am I supposed to make direct eye contact?
Bruh, I think this is an answer you already know the answer to. This is a question you already know the answer to. Hell no, you don't make eye contact. But close your eyes like you're going to sleep.
I feel like closing my eyes is too romantic. Bruh, like, I don't want your finger on my lip.
First of all, there's a difference.
Your finger on my lip.
No, sir.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, sir. If you're going to close your eyes. Don't just be like, that's romantic.
Okay,
like, all right. You slow it down. So if you see the barber come around, just be like, all right.
Close and quick. Just
right, because we'll ask you two things. Stretch your lip. That's the top lip so we can get up here. Or stretch your chin. Be like, and just stretch. You ain't got to do this number here. Staring at don't do that. Because now it's really uncomfortable. Now right. I'm going to have to kiss you.
Right. Yeah.
Now I'm going to have to kiss you.
I want you to be as uncomfortable as I am in this situation.
Get your haircut like
that. Oh, my God.
I like to watch.
Yeah, no.
Like, what, bro? What's happening?
I
like where you do that.
I've had barbers. I mean, I've had customers just look away. Like, they just be like this. Like, and you could tell that they just trying to make sure that they don't look at me.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that. Yeah. But do not at any time lock eyes with the barber. Like, that is the most uncomfortable. Like, you deserve any noise that happens, you deserve that.
They had it coming.
Yeah, yeah.
Just for
which, by the
eyes.
Way, I'm getting ready to get out of that anyway. I'm actually closed my shop down February 9th of 2024.
Okay.
After 15 years of running my shop, because my daughter wanted me to be a part of coaching her AAU volleyball team.
Okay.
And then, you know, it's just, I mean, it's hard on my back, my shoulders, and comedy and TV and the things that I'm doing is moving decent enough for the business where I don't have to do the barbering thing.
Awesome.
Now, I'm a master barber, so I'm gonna keep my master barber's license. I earned that, but I had to shut the shop down, man, just to see what other spaces God has really wanted me to move into. Yeah.
That's awesome.
In the 25 years,
mm-hmm.
you've built a brand that you're known for in the area, quality comedy.
Yeah.
Okay. So what separates quality comedy brand from just clean comedy?
Oh, man, I'm glad you asked that. So people think clean means church or clean means corny. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because anytime you say, oh, it's clean, you ain't gonna be, I don't wanna. And so years ago, because I started out as a regular comic, I was never raunchy, but I did drop the F-bomb. I did, you know, say, you know, sugar, honey, I see. I did use curse words, but the way I would use them, would be used in a way a clean comic would curse. It wouldn't be cursing because you have no ability to articulate a sentence.
Right.
Where every word just starting off, God, you know, they just saying everything. So when I got booked by my first, it was the first church that ever booked me. They came to one of the regular comedy, I think at the Funny Bone when we were doing, I think it was Apollo night. It was a very popular night that used to be on every Wednesday night from like 05 to 2011.
Yeah, and a few people that came on mentioned this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Chuck Lipscomb mentioned it when he came on. I'm trying to think, somebody else said something about Apollo night.
Yeah, man, Apollo night was that night if you were a comic in this area to get seen because it would always be packed, crazy packed, and everybody would come out to that show. And it was that show, after that show, a lady came up to me and said, hey, I would like you to, like, are you available to perform at churches? And I'm like, you just saw me on stage. Again, I wasn't raunchy, but I did use curse words, and the whole show was a typical black comedy show, right?
Right.
Yeah. And she was like, yeah, but compared to the other comics, I can see that your material didn't need any of that curse words, so you can take that out. And I said, okay, but I'm not a church comic. I'm not a Christian gospel and all this. She said, just be funny. Like, we just want to laugh. And I said, boom. So I was able to do that church and do my regular material, and they were laughing at it. Mm-hmm. And so when it came to rebranding myself in 2010, that was like 10 years after I got started, I rebranded myself. My company had already been started in 2008, mm-hmm. Quincy Carr Inc., Quality Entertainment and Barber Services. And I said, I want to say the general manager at the Funny Bone had just transferred to that Funny Bone, and this other guy named DJ Julian Rivera, who used to be the DJ on Apollo Nights. He spoke me up to that general manager saying, hey man, there's a comic here, like, you know, you need to give him a show. So he came to me, said, hey, I give you a show. What type of show you want to do? I said, yeah, I'll do a comedy show. He said, well, of course, it's a comedy club. Okay. Well, I'm saying I'll do my own type of comedy.
I'm going to do burlesque.
Right. Burlesque, a bunch of little people running around, too. Yeah, I want to have everything. And so I said, what am I going to call this show? And I said, well, my brand is Quality Entertainment Barber Services, so how about Quality Comedy Show? And then, because I said Quality Comedy, that kind of had a nice cadence to it. And I said, everybody does a show, I'll do a series. So I call it the Quality Comedy Series. And that's where it started. And then from that point, I just started to make sure that everywhere I performed, it took about 3 years for me to be comfortable not cursing everywhere that wasn't a quality comedy or a church show.
Right.
And then I'll probably say about 2013, that's when I really honed in on, I said, look, if I'm going to be known as this is my brand, it doesn't matter where I am, I got to still not curse and do it that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
it's basically clean adult humor, clean family humor that can go anywhere. So you could talk about anything, sex, drugs, anything. You don't have to feel like it's like you're performing like you're in a church where you would not say vulgar or curse or profanity words, right?
Right.
But you're in a regular comedy club environment where you could just talk about all subjects. Just don't curse doing it, and you'll be surprised how funny the material is without the extra shock words. Yeah.
Do you, so from that, like, so you're booking that, you're booking this live comedy series on Channel 3 locally.
Mm-hmm.
You have like this party you throw every year.
Yeah.
And you book. You're booking a lot of shows, you're doing that. What do you look for the people out there when you're booking, mm-hmm. and you're trying to bring somebody in, what are you looking for? Like, I'm in a comedian for somebody that you want to book now.
Like, right, like I'm always looking for a person who trusts the craft of comedy. Because mm-hmm. when you don't trust it, then, and it's always like, the key thing is I book you to be on my show, and I'm like, yeah, so you're just going to do a quick 5 minutes, especially if I'm not booking a headliner. Like, I'm just booking some feature acts to build up to the headliner. And I always get, so I got this one joke. If you got to ask me, then you're not understanding where I'm trying to get you to go and mm-hmm. think. I'm trying to get you to understand that just because it has a curse word don't mean that it's funny. It's funny because it's funny. The curse word, you using that as a crutch. So if you got to ask me, so if I say ass, and it would be like, bro, I said, it's no cursing, right. Regardless. Right. Not damn, not ass, not anything. Just no cursing. Find a clean and creative way to do it. So I'm looking for a comic that is confident in him or herself to say, okay, cool. Yeah, bet I can do it. And they don't ask me any questions. So is it okay if I say a joke like trust how funny the material is? Because chances are, you probably know this, you wrote the joke with a curse word in it. So now you don't trust to do it without the curse word. So that's basically what quality comedy, what the basis, write it clean, perform it clean. You can tote the line. Just find a clean and creative way. This local female, what is her name? Kimberly Tucker.
Okay.
She found a creative way to talk about, you know, her breast. Like when she does a normal show, she say, you know, T word, right?
Right.
And so she found a clean and creative way on my show. She called them sweater puppies. And it sounded funnier.
Yeah.
And when people laughed at it, and she was surprised a little bit at, wow, that was actually funny. Because I normally say, and everybody laughed at that. So that's the idea of quality comedy. It's just a clean and creative way to give people what they already want to do, and that's laugh.
Yeah. Do you find it difficult to perform on shows where you might be the only quote unquote clean comic?
Or not anymore.
But for a time, was there
during the Apollo
thing? Yeah.
And even though I wasn't 100% clean, there would be times like a little bit after I started doing the quality comedy series. So my dude Bodacious, he was the host of Apollo Night. Yeah. And he would do this thing, and it wasn't just him, but it would be a lot of comics that would do this to comics like me or like a Patrick Williams or somebody that they know is normally a clean or church comic. It'd be like, all right, next guy coming to the stage, man, y'all gonna like him, man, he funny. Hey, look, he a clean comic, so he don't be cursing on stage, man. So y'all make sure y'all show a lot of love. Be like, you ain't got, just introduce me like everybody else, right? And so I would go up there and just to throw folks off, I'd throw out an F-bomb, be like, man, F that.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Right, like, I'm going to do me. Don't set the comics up that way. Yeah. So I'm no longer intimidated by being, now I fully trust the brand that I've been in for well over a decade. Yeah. So I don't shy away from, I mean, like on cruise ships, comics on cruise ships love when they get an opportunity to do the adult show. They shy away from the family shows because they have adult material or they have material that they trust with the curse words in it.
Right.
And with the family, then they're like, oh man, I can't say this, or I have to say it in a different way. And I'd be like, man, it don't matter. And I tell passengers all the time, I'd be like, oh, I'm coming to your adult show because that's going to be funnier than the family show. I'm like, you're going to miss another good show. Because I'm going to give you the same type of structured material. Right. The only difference is in an adult show, I'm going to talk about adult topics that I can't talk about with kids around.
Right.
Yeah, but if I do a family show and it's all adults, I can touch on adult topics. I just still kind of minimize how far I go with the adult topics. Mm-hmm. But the quality is in the way you present your material.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. And so now I'm not really intimidated much. I mean, I've gone out to the Laugh Factory out in Hollywood, where some comics got to wait 3-4 years to get a date. Yeah. And I've been blessed enough, like I have connections with the right people, but to go on there and do my thing, and that's similar to like an Apollo Night where everybody's gonna be doing their thing. And I go up there and I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna keep it clean. I don't tell them that, but by the time I leave, you know the difference. Cause you'll see folks, hey man, like that was a good set. And I noticed that you didn't curse.
Mm. Yeah.
Like people notice, but they also notice that if like funny, it's funny if it's funny.
Yeah,
right.
That's the basis of it.
Yeah. You know, the question I used to get is, "What you like, a preacher or something?" You know what I'm saying? They would say they come to me after, be like, you what? Like, why you don't curse? Like, because people will notice it's silence or like not doing something automatically makes you the loudest person in the room.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And makes people. Yeah, it's a whole lot I can get into, but I don't want to be up. Let's stick with this.
Yeah, man, it's about me.
You got to, yeah.
I mean, let's not go on the tangent.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm a bring it back for His Highness. Yeah. You work with some greats. I know you had a relationship with some more at one time.
Yeah.
I don't know if you had any others, but you were like, what was that relationship? Was it writing? Were you writing?
So she saw a bit that I did when I performed at Chrysler Hall, because I performed at Chrysler Hall 2 years in a row back in 06 and 07. Mm-hmm. 06 was with Ricky Smiley, 07 was with Bruce. And that was, at that time, like, my biggest, oh my God, it's like, I'm in Chrysler Hall.
Right.
Because, bruh, like, on a small little tangent, I remember being at a comedy show, I think Herman Hurston, at the time, he was one of the biggest comics here in the area. He was a radio personality, and he was on a show that was Def Jam inspired, right? And it was, I think it was for Valentine's Day. So I got tickets for me and my lady at the time, who later became my wife. And we're sitting, and I'm just sitting in the audience. I'm like, man, one day I would love to be up there. So that was like maybe my third year in comedy or something. And 3 years later, I'm on this grand stage looking out the people. So the second time I performed there, some more got a clip of a bit that I had done. And before I knew it, her manager, he reached out to me and said, hey, some more likes your bit. Would you mind coming up to Richmond so she can meet you and, you know, maybe open up so we can get a chance to know you and da da da. So I did that. And before I knew it, for a couple of years, I was going on the road with her in a couple of spots. They even took me to my hometown of Austin, Texas. And that was just lovely, you know, being in front of my peoples. But that's kind of how we got connected. It was a bit that I had done. She liked it and that's she dope. Thought that it was cool. Yeah, so awesome. And to this day, I mean, every time they come to the area, I mean, shoot, they just called me a few weeks ago. Well, not a few weeks ago, but it was like near the end of 2023. They called me to say, hey, look, when was the last time you've been in Austin? I was like, not since y'all brought me there. Well, as far as performing. So not since y'all brought me there. They said, well, we actually, that it's our first time back and want to know if you're free. And I'm like, crap, because I was supposed to go to Austin to bring in Christmas with my mother and my family, because her birthday was like Christmas Eve. Uh-huh. So that was going to be the very next week after going. So I would have been going there 2 weeks in a row. And I was like, I was already booked on something, and I stand on business, and no matter what the opportunity is, if I'm already booked and under contract, I don't look at, oh, this is money, this is, like, it's gotta be like the Tonight Show, something. Right. Yeah. But something where I can go open for somebody, look, that opportunity will come at another time. Plus, I know them, and, you know.
Right.
But I wasn't able to do it that time. But every time they come to the area, they always hit me up. Hey, Quincy, hey, look, you want tickets? Da, da, da. And the last time, I want to say the last time they were here, I'm sitting in the audience because I, you know, I have my tickets. And then the manager, he texted me and said, hey, come backstage. I'm like, all right. So I'm skew, right, walking through people. And then I'm getting close to backstage. He said, what intro music do you want? I'm like, and I guess he wanted to test to see if I was going to, oh no, I didn't come prepared to do that. But I was like, anytime you give me an hour, I don't care where I am.
Right.
I'm be ready.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Not armor. I'm be ready.
Right.
Yeah. And I went out there. He said, look, just go out there and just warm the crowd up for 7 minutes and be sure to introduce some more. Bet. So I did it. And again, no cursing. Everybody on the show do their thing and cursing. And it was like folks after the show was like, man, I'm talking about after Lavelle Crawford, after Samore, after all these dope comics.
Right.
And they would see me be like, man, you.
Yeah.
Man. So people remember that, man. And yeah. And so, like you said, the quietest one in the room makes the loudest noise.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I got that from American Gangster.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what Denzel was like. Loudest one in the room, weakest one in the room.
Bro, that movie inspired the hell out of me, man. And I'ma just tell you, just from a black perspective, so there's a scene in that movie where I think the FBI agents, I think they were at the airplane hangar, and they were trying to catch the plane that was coming in looking for the drugs.
Right.
And when what was the detective name?
I don't remember his name.
Okay.
I don't remember.
So when he told him, yeah, that's Frank Lucas, and the guy's like, who is Frank Lucas? Yeah. And he said, he said, what was he, Italian? What is he? He said, no, he's black. He says, what? It's impossible.
Yeah. Right.
No black man has ever been able to accomplish what the white man couldn't. When I saw that, there's my top. When I saw that, bro, like, some people don't understand why that enlightened me, why that perked me up. But as a black man, for other races to think that we can't accomplish what they couldn't, even though that was with drugs,
right.
I said, man, I'm inspired to just do my thing no matter what. Because people don't think I should be able to do it, maybe because of my stutter, maybe because I am black. But that's the motivation that I use to move forward, man. Yeah. So that movie inspired the hell. I can watch that movie and just fast forward it to that scene.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
So it'd be, let me see, Quality Comedy, Barber Service, and Pharmaceuticals.
Yeah. That's a little about a thing. I got you in the heroin. Yeah, yeah.
Why not, player?
Yeah, yeah.
Why not, player?
I rode the white horse here.
You little sugar booger.